I'm going to read something to you first before I get to my message, because then you'll understand what you've been through, what you're going to, and then where you're going. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so this is not a teaching on prophecy, but this is just something before I give what God told me to do. So you'll see how it ties in. You can hear from every prophet, every prophecy people, and what it is and what it means and how it works. But the Hebrew word for prophecy is dabar. Always remember this, dabar. Now, what it means is what God said he was going to do today. Dabar means to drive forward that which is behind. Come on, someone say amen. It's to drive forward. It's, in other words, that what is lacking, it is going to drive forward. So if your life is lacking, the prophetic word drives forward what is behind. Now you're going to see, just hold on. Many times a prophetic word addresses the potential of what God has made you to be, while what you are experiencing might be totally different. Oh, hallelujah. That's because prophets see who you are and where you're going. You just don't see it. Okay? But when the prophetic word comes, it changes your life, because the word itself is a new life. Also, the prophetic word, prophecy, brings forth divine order. When our lives are not moving in step with God's program, he sends a prophetic word to realign and reactivate us. Hallelujah. It's actually called correction. That's what it's called. But we take it wrong because no one wants corrected. But correction only simply means if you're going down the road and you're traveling and you find out that you're leaning and driving the vehicle and it keeps going to the right, you need some air in that tire. And so God just wants you to pull over and put some air. And a lot of times when we don't, we end up with a flat tire a couple months from there. That's all he's trying to do, is reline up things. Amen?
Amen.
So when prophecy, a prophetic word, comes to you, it speaks death to one season and the beginning of a new season. Come on. Now listen to this. It has both a death certificate and a birth certificate attached to it. In the natural realm, the season you are in might feel prolonged. But in the realm of the spirit, the season has ended. Uh-oh. Here we go. Why did I say this before I give this word? It's because a lot of you had prophecy, the Lord told me, over your life early on. And it has not come to pass. Come on, someone raise their hand up. Oh, wow, there's a lot more in this. Yeah. It has not come to pass. But God said, today, after I read this word, what God gave me, what was lacking behind is going to be driven forward by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now listen, I don't care. This is not hype. I'm not a hype preacher. I might look hype, but I'm not a hype preacher, believe me. But I could tell you this much. When God says that, that's what's going to happen. It's just going to happen because God said it. So prophecy, you have to understand it's a process in your life. But the ones that your prophecy that didn't come to pass yet, listen what the word of the Lord says to that. Don't get upset at the word of the Lord. I used to get mad in the will of God. I understand it. And so what it is listen to what the word of the Lord. The church, over the years, has a favorite saying. We're just waiting on God. Oh, my. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because you get renewed strength and everything. But then God is shouting from heaven, I'm waiting on you. Your prophecy hasn't come to pass because you haven't went through the process to get into this new life, you're still in the old season. When you got prophesied over back in that day, that your life was over from that day and you moved forward to a new season. You guys, some of you been walking around in a new season, but you're walking around in the old. You're in a season, but you don't know what it is because you're stuck in the old, because the prophecy took you out of that years ago and moved you forward. And so you don't understand where you're at. But I have to tell you something. Jesus is coming into your out of season. Everyone wants to him to come in season, like when the things are happening. Well, you could ask that fig tree that. It didn't happen to the fig tree. He came in out of season expecting leaves to fruit to be on that fig tree. But the only thing there was leaves. And he said, you know what? Curse that tree and let that tree die. You know why? Because whenever Jesus comes to expect fruit, he wants it to be there and he wants to partake of it. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is coming in your out of season, and he's picking the fruit that he wants, and God is doing a work in everyone here. And brother, so when you come in to prophecy, I have to get this. When you come to the word of prophecy of your life, don't get mad. It's what you didn't know was it was a death certificate. When you get prophesied over, it's a death certificate. That's why people don't understand it. That old life died. It's not there no more. And so you're still trying to do what God said in the death certificate. You're trying to do what God said in the old. But he says, no, no, no. When you get prophecy, it kills that and brings you into a new life. So some of us aren't living out prophecy because we haven't got out what God killed. We're still trying to live there. Amen? Amen. Before I go on with my message, I just want to share with you, I had a vision. And when I talk about vision, I'm talking about not one of these made up things that people talk about. I'm not talking those type. I'm talking about the vision that God gave me 2 months ago. And it was amazing. I was in my bed and I'm laying there. And the Lord said, I'm going to have you preach this at a church. I didn't know it was going to be this one, for real, at the time. But I was surprised that it's going to be here. Amen. I'm real familiar with this place, and I love this place. So I'm really happy God chose here. But the thing is, in this vision, the vision started out like this. I'm going to calm down now. The vision started out like this. I was laying on the ground. I was kicked. I was beat up. My ribs, my face, everything was just really bad. Then it switched over into a ring. And when it switched into, any of you saw, by the way, think of the ring, any of you ever watched Father Stu lately? George, if you want to see a movie, now it's, oh my God, Mel Gibson and Mark Wahlberg, Father Stu, a true story. You just got to watch it. It's not all faith-based. But it's very powerful. So when I'm saying this is, I'm not talking about that movie. I didn't see that movie than seeing a fighter. Because, you know, that would be something general I could talk about. It was months before this, God showed me a fighter in a ring. And the fighter was laying on the ground. Really in bad shape. And I said, Lord, what is that? And as soon as I said, what is that? Satan was standing behind the one that looked victorious. And Satan said, you knocked them out. I've been trying to do this for years. Thank you. I appreciate you knocking them out. I can't believe it. You knocked them on the ground. Well, what happened in the vision, that body down there started shaking. In the vision. Just took a little. And so, all of a sudden, the ref, here he goes, does the 10 count. 10, 9, it was vibrating in my ears. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and all of a sudden on 2, a leg starts shaking. A hand starts moving. A body starts getting up. and then one. And when he got up, the body stood like this. And it was the church. I said, oh my. And when I looked at it, when it stood up, the punches that Satan threw first was at the head of the body. Just pounded the face, the mind of the Lord, at the body of Christ. The next one was gut punches. Disease, COVID, hitting everyone in one shot, everything. Everything, every trial, everything. Then the next one was, you know how you get in there and you headbutt and you fight. And the church just got tired. And the Lord said to me, and I'm going to tell you today, he said, my church, I have built it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You're victorious. Listen what he said. Listen what he said. Now stand up, church, and take your rightful place in me. Come on, someone should be happy. Take your right place in me. Take your right place in me. Be a priest that ministers unto me first. And then the people. And he said, spoke to me so plain. And he said, I am going to fully baptize this church. The real church. The body of Christ. Not just this building. The true believers of Christ. In my power. And in my might. And in my fire. And they will do mighty exploits in these days. Don't listen to the news and tell you how much you can spend. Don't listen to what they say. All we hear today in this world is the bad news, inflation, and this and that. And God said, when you see that, lift up your head and draw nigh, because not only am I coming back, I'm on my way. Woo! Come on. Come on. Yeah, this is where we get messed up. Church got stagnant, familiar. I couldn't believe it. I asked the Lord about it. I said, I don't understand what happened to the church. And he said, they all went to a camp. I said, what was it called? He said, familiarity. He said, they ended up being sophisticated adults and not my little children anymore. They've grown up in me in age. And they got a little more smart about the things, and they're studying the word, but all of a sudden they got sophisticated and lost the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And he said, they got sophisticated. He said, but tell my people, and I'm telling you today, you are still his little children, and he's going to guide you by your hand, and you are going to do things. No, it's not a playground. This is serious now, and in this last day, he said, I know you're waiting on me, but I am waiting on you. Amen. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me. My introduction is Adam sinned and in his panic, frantically tried to do the impossible. He tried to hide from the presence of God. David also must have had wild thoughts of trying to escape from the presence. For he wrote, whether shall I go from the spirit or whether shall I flee from thy presence? Psalm 139:37. Then he proceeded through one of the most eloquent and beautiful psalms to celebrate the glory of the divine eminence, sovereignty of God that overrules everything. What happened to you? It wasn't that you didn't have enough faith. The sovereignty of God overruled your faith. He saw if you were going that route, he stopped it. And he took over. So don't condemn yourself. The Lord told me to tell you this day, I am what is lacking behind. I am driving it forward and step. And you have not missed one step of what I'm going to do in your life. Woo! Come on, this is getting excited. I'm the only one, though, so I'm preaching this, so I know I'm getting wound up. But listen, this is what God says. Then he proceeded to give this psalm. If I can ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall the hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Psalm 139, 8 and 10. And he knew that God, watch this, don't forget this sentence. And he knew that God's being and God's seeing are the same. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. This is so powerful. That the seeing presence had been with him before he was born. Uh-oh. Better take this personally here. Did you hear that? The seeing presence was with him before he was even born. How about us? Now watch. Get this. The church will rise after this. Believe me. And so when he saw that the seeing presence had been with him even before he was born, and watching the mystery of the unfolding life of God's hand, before you was even in your mother's womb, you're going to be amazed when I am getting to. Because the Lord said to me in that dream, this is why I'm going back and forth here for a minute, when the church got up, and I said, man, what gave this church so much power? And he said, Psalm 139. I am going to have a move of God from Psalm 139. I said, well, I know Psalm 139. Okay? He said, uh-uh. You thought you knew Psalm 139. Now, I want to share this with you. Solomon exclaimed, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot attain thee. How much less this house that I have built it can. Acts 17:27-28, Paul assured the church, he said, be not far from every one of us, for in him we live, move, and have our being. Amen? Amen. I'll slow down. Is this okay? Yeah. Psalm 139. I'm going to read it out of the New Living. Just because I just like his translation, you can have King James, anything you want. I'm not hung up on all that. But I can tell you, this message here, by the time you hear it today, not because of me saying it different, you'll realize why that's the power of the Word of God. Do you know why we are talking about chains? Paul was in chains when he was in jail, but he said, that's all right. The word of God is not chained. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word of God will set you free and break all the chains that you have in your life. Everything. Now watch this. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Amen. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Listen, we've been far away for a while from God. We forgot when he said back in the day, seek me when I can be found. This is where we got to be, church. Why, he's found right now. Anytime, my father and the Lord used to say, Brother Joe Crandall, anytime there's a favorable season, you better hit the iron while it's hot. You better get it when it's coming. Amen? So now listen. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. Man, I wish you would stop me then if that's true, man. I mean, I say some things that I just want to take back. You know, if you knew I was going to say it, why don't you stop me, bro? I mean, right? Yeah. Huh? Right? But then, you go before me and follow me. Oh, come on. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Now listen to this. The Lord said, when I read this message. Every one of you, he said, in this room, everyone, not just one person, everyone, what was lacking behind is going to be driven forward. Oh, my. Amen. You got to see it. You'll know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, watch this. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. Is it, body of Christ? Is it? The Lord told me, ask them, is it too wonderful? Because some people are just casually pushing it aside. Then he said this. And it's too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. He said, if I go up to heaven where you are, if I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. That's amazing that he even thought that. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderful, wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, your masterpiece, your poetry is so marvelous. How will I know it? You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Now watch. You saw me. Never forget this. I'm going to touch on it. Before I was born. But here's the one, folks. You got to take this home with you. You got to get it. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Uh-oh. Every day. Not from the day you got born again. Every day. Every day. Now watch. This gets better. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. Every moment of your life before a single day passed before the Lord. Before him, everything. You're sitting here right now. This whole thing. Before. They were already. This was written in his book. Come on. Can we raise our hand and just say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, we really have to. Now, this is what gets me about this whole thing. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. The days were in the book, but his thoughts towards us can't be. Woo! Come on.
Amen.
That is amazing. Okay, now, I can't even count them. They outnumber their grains of sand, all the thoughts he has towards you. That really blows me away. And when I wake up, you are still with me. You can read the rest of it. I was just supposed to touch it there. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I'm here to tell you, the Lord always goes before us. Even before we were born, he went before us. With this awareness, there grows upon us a new dimension of confidence in Christ. It is the intense realization that not only is he here, but also that he fully knows me. Or put in the psalmist's possible terms, plainest terms, he completely understands me. Come on. Come on, we have to really get this thing now. This is the strength that is going to take the church. Don't get me wrong. I hear prophets prophesy, and you can prophesy, and it's great. Because one thing about prophets, they can prophesy the beginning and see the end, but they don't know that logistic middle part in your life where that's the hardest part to have faith. And so what God says, and you hear preachers, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. The Spirit of the Lord wants you to know you can be faithless, and he's still faithful.
Right.
Oh, come on. I can't help it. We've been there. We've been there. That's how he invites you to the banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. Because he knew we couldn't come to the banqueting table. We were too beaten down. Our finances was gone. This was happening. The marriage was going through here. The church is dying off. People aren't doing anything. Everything is going wrong. And God says, he just keeps saying, yeah, listen, everything you're talking about was written in my book. I saw it. I've been through it. I saw it in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I crawled to the cross because it was a joy set before me because I saw you back then. It may well be that you and I shall never, ever fully know or understand all of God's love and concern for us. We may never comprehend all the impeccable qualities of his character. But praise God for his great generosity. He fully knows us in every detail and deals with you and I in utter integrity. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. This is Jesus we're talking about. The author and the finisher of our faith. The lily of valley, the rose of Sharon. This is the one that they were talking about, the inheritance up there. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is saying to you, that same God said, the reason I know what you're going through, the reason I see everything you're doing, because I knew you long time ago, just like King David was made in utter seclusion. But it said that King David, all the theologians talk about it. When God said, I saw you before you was born in your mother's womb, they said that God saw him as a king. How does God see you? There was a king in the womb. Isn't that amazing? Oh, thank you, Lord. For the child of God, you and I, to be known by him should be the greatest encouragement in all the world. Just to be known by Almighty God. We didn't know it. Gethsemane told the story. Even before he got there, he said, take this cup from me, because every one of us was there. So he had to walk to the cross so we can walk out this salvation. Listen, God has changed my life. You don't know how bad. God has changed my life knowing this years ago. But when he spoke this, I said, was it that simple? He said, they don't understand my sovereignty. My people don't understand my eminence. They don't even know how to properly respect me. Now listen. All of our lives, we are interacting with people who do not really know us, much less understand us. Many of our problems of life arise from lack of knowledge and adequate understanding of one another. It's easy for us to say, I love you, but I still have a problem with it. I mean, if I don't know you, I don't feel like I love you. I don't understand how that happens, you know? No, I mean, we do it as Christians. And, you know, I love you, bro. I remember everyone was hugging this one brother in the church. He came to me. I said, look, bro, I don't even know you. I don't want to hug you in this. And 2 weeks later, they found out that he's ripping the church off and doing everything else. Everyone was loving him out the door. Yeah. He went and got his thing, went right out. I mean, don't get me wrong. But we have to watch. We have to guard our heart with all diligence and do not let Satan come in here. We know what he does. We're not ignorant of his devices. But Psalm 139, if you get this in your spirit, you'll say, nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of our problems in life arise from lack of knowledge and adequate understanding of one another. People, not all people, but church people wear masks to conceal their true character. Right. I was one of them. Come on, you can't lie. Hey, brother, how's it going? Everything good? Hey, man, I'm good. Oh, yeah. Are you sick? No, I'm healed. Healed. You know? I mean, there is so much of that's going on. But if we would just say, I'm sick. I need to go to an elder, and I need someone to put some anointing oil on me. And yeah, but you know why they don't do that anymore? Because the church, they feel, let them down long time ago. But I'm here to tell you the real church is going to stand up. It's coming back. You know, we pray for revival. God said, I don't know what you're praying for revival for. I want the church restored. I need restoration. Revival will come. Revival will come when you're restored. Yeah. Well, yeah, but brother, you don't know. We can't wait to get to the book of Acts. That's what we're waiting for. The book of Acts is over, church. He doesn't want you to even go back there. He wants more than the book of Acts. You can do greater things in this world. Hallelujah. And so we are waiting around while we're waiting on God, and we're looking at situations, say, my God, I got to pray for it. And God said, I put something in you to handle this situation. Oh, my. Hallelujah. They live behind false fronts of propriety, falsehood, the church people with the mask. I'm not against them, but they might not be the real church. I had my mentor in the Lord say, Brother Tim, I was up on the thing, Brother Joe Crandall. I was sitting here like this, up in Blue Ridge. I'm sitting there like this, Brother Wilson. Yes, sir. You want to know the difference between the wheat and the chaff? And I said, okay. And there was a crowd. You know, I didn't know what he was saying. They start praising. And I'm looking out. And the praise was over. He's sitting there. He said, did you notice anything about the wheat and the chaff out there? No, sir. He said, well, I was a farmer. And when that dew comes down, he said, the wheat bows. He said, you see all those people worshiping? And see all those people bowing? And he said, but did you see the ones that are still in bondage and they're hurt? They don't want to be healed. They want to be where they're at. You know, maybe they're on welfare or something. This way they can still keep their medical cards and food. If they get healed, they won't have them anymore. And things like that. And so what happens is the wheat bowed. And I learned a lesson. And you wouldn't believe the chaff I saw stand up. A couple of them were my friends. I was looking out and I said, oh, my God. They pretend to be one thing while living another. A veneer of culture covers crudeness, cruelty, and deception. It is frightening for most people to realize that God knows you through and through. Amen.